Now, that's a big word, but all it really means is to be set apart. In the Word of God, it comes from the same root, the same source, as the word translated saint or holy. So it really is a description of the character of a Christian when he is seen as being part of the family of God. But remember, in its simplest terms, it really just means to be set apart. Think of the women after they have taken shop, taking all of those dishes and pots and bowls and putting them in a big pile ready for washing. And then they take plenty of water and they wash those dishes very well. And then what do they do? Do they take the clean ones and put them back with the dirty ones again? No. They set them on the other side of the pot of water so that they are in a clean place separate from the dirty ones. That is the process. That is the truth of sanctification. That when we are saved, when we are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, at that time we are set apart by God to be special as part of His family. We have mentioned that our salvation begins, our salvation takes place when we are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. We have that truth clearly brought before us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. And again in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, where we read, "The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleans us from all sin." And so we become part of God's family. There are two ways that we become part of God's family, by birth and by adoption. Now, either you were born into your own family or you were adopted into your family, but not both. But in God's family, we have the privileges and the joy of both. Turn with me, please, to John's Gospel, chapter 3, and we will read together verses 3, 4, 6, and 7. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's belly and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit," that is the Holy Spirit, "is spirit. Marvel not, do not wonder that I say unto you, you must be born again." So here we have very clearly the principle of new birth bringing us into God's family. That little expression, born again, in verse 3 really means born from above, born entirely fresh, as from a new source of life. In John's ministry, we have this view of being born into God's family brought before us many times. In John's Gospel, chapter 1, we read in verse 13 that we were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In John's first letter, in his first epistle, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, we read these words, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has lavished, has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons or the children, the born ones, the pekin of God. Therefore the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now are we the sons, the children, the pekin of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." when I was living in Benin City, Bendel State, Nigeria, in 1976 and 1977, with my wife, every time I turned into our street, Edo Osage Street, to return home, the woman who lived at the end of that street, by name Maria, used to rush out and say, "Good afternoon, sir. Madame, should I get tissue?" Every day she wanted to know if my wife, Madame Taiwo, had any issue, whether she had any children. Now I am thankful to tell you, my friends, by the grace of God, that Taiwo and I have 5 children, 5 Pekin, and we are very, very thankful for them. Those children were born into our family. My senior son resembles me, and our senior daughter resembles my wife, Taiwo. And so it is very clear that they have the very life and the very nature of their parents. That is one part of being born into God's family. The second view of being in God's family is by adoption. And we get this in the Apostle Paul's ministry, where by adoption we have the full rights, the full privileges of mature sons in a position in God's family. Turn with me, if you have a Bible, to the letter that Paul wrote by inspiration to the Galatians, chapter 4, verses 4, 5, 6, and 7. It says, "God sent his Son, made of a woman, to redeem those that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons," or the full rights of sonship. "And because we are sons, God has sent forth the Holy Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Daddy, Father. Therefore you are no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." This is the beautiful privilege of adoption into God's family. We have the very life and nature of Christ because we have been born into God's family, and we have all the rights and privileges of mature sons by being adopted into God's family. Now in Romans chapter 8, also written by the Apostle Paul, verse 14, it says, "As many as are led by the Holy Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness, testifies, speaks with our spirit that we are the children, the sons of God. And if children, sons, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs," that is, heirs alongside with Christ. And so we are set apart, we are sanctified because of our position in the family of God. When we traveled to Agbor, we met the daughter of the Obi of Agbor. By position, she was set apart for a very special place as princess. Now practically, she needed to learn to behave like a princess. And so there are two parts to sanctification. One is what we sometimes call positional, by position. And secondly, practical, that part of sanctification that we need to carry out by practice in our lives. This position of sanctification does not depend on our works at all. It depends on the finished work of Jesus Christ. And we are going to look at a number of verses which tell us that this position of sanctification is part of Christ's work that has been done for us. Turn with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. The Apostle Paul says, "Unto the assembly of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints." Now, turn also with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 9 and 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. The Lord Jesus said, "I come to do thy will, O God." by the which will we are sanctified. We are sanctified. We are set apart through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Amen. That is, by Christ's doing the will of God, in becoming the sacrifice for sin, we have been set apart. In Acts chapter 20, verse 32, we find the prayer of the Apostle Paul, "Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." You notice it says they are sanctified, not that they are being sanctified. Sanctification is not a process. It is not a development that goes on in the believer's life by a continual reapplication of the blood of Christ. No, no, no. It is something that has been done by the death and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ at the time of our salvation. These people are sanctified, not are being sanctified. We have the same thought in Acts chapter 26 and verse 18. There is no progress in this. It is once and for all accomplished by our position in Christ. Now turn over with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 11 for another very important verse about this subject. "Both he who sanctifies," that is Jesus, "and they who are sanctified," that's us, "are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." Isn't this wonderful? Jesus Christ and us, we are one. We have been sanctified by him and by his work, and we are one in Christ, and he is not ashamed. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 14 says, "By one offering he has perfected forever those who are sanctified." The work is done. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Christ Jesus is unto us sanctification. Therefore, there is nothing of self. It is an immediately complete divine work. Remember that in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14, we are told, "Whatsoever God does, it shall be forever." And that certainly includes the truth of sanctification. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11, Paul writes to these believers who still had some real moral and problems in their lives. There was immorality among them. There was bad doctrine among them. There was evil practice in the church among them. He does not excuse them. He speaks very firmly and plainly to correct those problems. And yet also, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, he says to them, "Such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." You see, their position was one of having been set apart as members of the family of God, to God, through the death and the shed blood of Christ. And their bad behavior needed to be corrected. They needed to come under the hand of God because of it. But it did not change their position of being sanctified by the work of Jesus Christ. Now let us hear the testimony of Peter as he writes in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied." Here we have the work of the Holy Spirit of God brought into the subject of sanctification. Now, we have clearly seen from the Word of God that our position after we are saved is that we are sanctified. It is part of Christ's work for us, not our work. Now we turn to the practical side of the question, and just like eternal security is a basis or a reason for good behavior, so our possession of being sanctified by the work of Christ is the basis or the reason for a practical sanctification, a practical separation in our lives. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 19, the Apostle Paul says, "As you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness." Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 10 again would give us the practical side of this subject, where it tells us, "They," that is our fathers, "truly for a few days chastened us, corrected us after their own pleasure, but he," God, "for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." You see, the Christian cannot do just anything he wants. The Holy Spirit of God indwells us to give us the power to live a godly Christian life. We have been born into the family of God, giving us the very life and nature of Christ himself, which gives us the capacity and the desire to please God. And then we have just read in Hebrews chapter 12 that we have a loving Father who disciplines us and corrects us so that we will show to the world the character of God's family as it should be shown. In Ephesians chapter 4 verse 15 we read that we need to grow up into him, grow up into Christ in all things. So these verses clearly show us that there needs to be growth and progress in the Christian's life, beginning from that possession of being washed and sanctified by Christ's work. Now let us see this a little more specifically in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. The Apostle Paul's prayer for these Christians was, "The very God of peace sanctify you completely. I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, this is practical, daily sanctification now. In the chapter just before, we have a very practical, very specific instruction for our sanctification. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. "This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from," keep away from, "fornication," sexual immorality, "that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all such sins, as we have already told you and warned you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life." Let us go right back to the first verse that we read, verse 3. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality. Now here is a practical, daily thing that each one of us can be careful about every day of our lives. Not to take another man's wife and commit adultery with her. That is specifically what is spoken of in verse 6. Not to have immoral sexual relations with someone else, but to keep our bodies holy for God. That is practical sanctification, practical setting apart of ourselves for God. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, we read, "God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." And so the truth of the Word of God helps to practically, daily sanctify us, set us apart. Do we not read in John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 32 and verse 36, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Freedom is an experience, and our experience of freedom should be based on the truth. We should not base our knowledge of the truth on our experience. What am I saying? I am saying that the truth of the Word of God comes first, and our experience comes second. So many times I have seen people in Africa and in Canada who have some tremendous experience and then try to find verses in the Word of God to justify or explain that experience. No, rather we should study the Word of God. We should understand it. We should pray and ask the Lord by His Holy Spirit to teach us. And then, based on the truth of the Word of God, we will have real freedom and the experience of it in our Christian lives. The truth is what sanctifies us and sets us apart. The prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself for His own is found in John's Gospel, chapter 17 and verse 17, where He says to God the Father, sanctify them through Thy truth, Thy word is truth. Some people say, well, when I read the Word of God, I can't remember it. I read some few chapters, and it just goes right through. I can never remember anything I read. I am like that, and probably some of you listening are like that too. You know, we are like a sieve. We are like one of those screens through which we sift gari to take out the impurities and the lumps and the small stones so that we can have pure gari for eating. And we say, when I read the Word of God, it is just like pouring gari through that sieve or pouring water through it. It just goes right through. But you know, when a woman pours water through that screen, the water may pass right through it, but the screen now is clean. And so when we read the Word of God, even if you do not remember it, it passes through our mind and we are cleaned. We are sanctified by the truth of the Word of God. The ultimate purpose of God with us as members of His family is that we shall be like His Son. 1 John 3 verse 2 says, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18 would tell us that we all, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 29 we read, that we should be conformed to the image of His Son, that is, Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate purpose of God. But our daily separation from sin, our daily practical sanctification, will never result, never, in the putting away of our old, sinful, fallen nature. It will always be the same. It will always be there. We find no verses in the Word of God to show that it is progressively sanctified, gradually made better, till it becomes just like Jesus Christ. Never. And in fact, we will never be just like Christ until we are at home in the glory with Him. Then our old nature will be gone. Then the ultimate purpose of God will be realized, and every member of His family will be just like His Son, Jesus Christ, conformed to the image of His Son. It is a precious thing. It is a privilege. It is a joy when walking in the truth of the Word of God, letting it purify our hearts and souls in obedience to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. We can in some small way show the character of God's family, show the love and the character of Jesus Christ to a lost and perishing world, but we will never be truly and fully like Him until we are at home with Him in the glory forever. Amen. Thank you.
Lord.